This is the theoretical reflections after the crisis panel. Welcome. Today we have three presenters, Gerard Dumanil, Paolo Dos Santos, and Andrew Brown. And I'm just going to give a quick introduction of each of them, and then we'll proceed in with their presentations. Gerard Dumanil is an economist and a former research director of the Centre National de la Recherche Scientifique. I'm not very good at the French. In France. He has been collaborating for many years with the economist Dominique Levy. Dumanil is a member of the editorial board of the journal Actuel Marx, and with philosopher Jacques Bidet and Stephanie Haber, co-chairs the Marx International Congress. He's the author of numerous articles and books, partly theoretical and partly devoted to the analysis of contemporary capitalism, in particular neoliberalism and imperialism. In recent years, he has devoted considerable time to the study of Latin America. Among his books are Le Concept de loi économique dans le capital.
Say it in English.
I'll translate, is that all right? Thank you. The Economics of the Profit Rate with Dominique Levy, Crisis and Types of Crisis, is that correct? Sortie de Crisis?
No, it's Exit from Crisis.
Exit
Recovery,
crisis. Sure. Thank you, thank you, all right. Orders and Disorders of Neoliberalism, which has also been published by Harvard University Press under the title Capital Resurgent, and also translated into Spanish and Korean. Another book is Marxist Economics of Capitalism, or the, all right, is Alter Marxism, Another Marxism for Another World, with Jacques Bidet, and most recently, The Crisis of Neoliberalism, published by Harvard University Press, was released this January, and here's a copy. Quick flash, y'all see it. Should go and pick it up. Okay. Next, we have Paolo Dos Santos. And Paolo Dos Santos is a lecturer at the Department of Economics at the School of Oriental and African Studies at the University of London. He is a founding member of the Research on Money and Finance Network, and conference attendees may have seen his recent article in Historical Materialism titled On the Content of Banking in Contemporary Capitalism. And third, we have Andrew Brown. Andrew Brown is a senior lecturer in economics at the University of Leeds. His research interests include value theory, methodology, and philosophy as these relate to political economy. He is a member of the coordinating team of an 8 million euro EU Framework 7 research project titled Financialization, Economics, Society, and Sustainable Development. So welcome our panelists, and we'll begin with Professor Dumanil.
Thank you. So if you want to take a look at the book, it's here. It's not sold here for I don't know what reason, but here you have one copy. It's very easy to buy, in particular on the internet. So this is a book about the contemporary crisis, and my idea today, because we have 20 minutes, is not to introduce you to the content of the book if you have not read it yet. And so I will speak of a very specific issue. One aspect of the analysis of the contemporary crisis, which is not in the book, it is actually the discussion of other interpretations. Okay, we have our own interpretation in the book, but in the book we never discuss interpretations by other Marxist economists. So recently we prepare very rapidly, I'm afraid, but it's a preliminary draft, a rather big article, unfinished, which is on our webpage. Okay, I've been working in the airplane recently on that. And so you can take a look, and we apologize because the form, you know, is not really very good, but there you will find the main aspect of our criticism of other interpretations. And also we placed recently a new short paper on the contemporary crisis about contemporary development, and in particular in the United States. And there is a second section, three sections. In the second section, we really discuss now the specific problem of the US economy, and in particular the problem of the deficit and its financing by the Federal Reserve and all that. But I'm not going to present all that at all today, because I want to focus on the other interpretation. But other interpretation is very broad because you have various types of interpretation. So one group of interpretation relates the contemporary crisis to the falling profit rate in Marx's analysis, and we disagree with that. We believe the contemporary crisis is not a profitability crisis like the crisis of the 1970s. It is not a profitability crisis. Also, this is probably the most familiar, you know, interpretation of the contemporary crisis. There is a very strong political aspect to that because many Marxist economists believe that if they do not explain the contemporary crisis by the falling profit rate, they are not true Marxists and capitalism is not going to die. So it's a very difficult issue. Now, within this same type of explanation, you have two aspects, because some people are relating the contemporary crisis to the long-term tendency of the profit rate, in the sense that the profit rate did not recover after the crisis of the 1970s. And you have another type of explanation, which explaining the contemporary crisis not by the historical trend, but by the fluctuation of the profit rate. Because some people believe that actually, recurrently, you know, the profit rate in its fluctuation diminishes, and this introduces normally recession, and this would be an explanation, and one aspect of the explanation of the contemporary crisis. Now, there are also other types of interpretations. For example, you see, also related to the movement of the profit rate, but in the reverse direction, you have the interpretation by Anwar Sheikh, and last year in the same conference, in the same city, I was in a session with him, and he was presenting this. So we also discussed that in the paper, but it's very specific, you know, because it's related to the recovery of the profit rate. So in many senses, it's just the opposite of the traditional explanation counting for the contemporary crisis in relation to the falling profit rate. I cannot cover all that in a short period of time, and I'm making an introduction which is way too long. So first, I want to explain the following. We do not explain the contemporary crisis by the falling profit rate. We believe that in the history of modern capitalism, what we call modern capitalism is capitalism since the 1890s, you know, where, or the beginning of the 20th century, when capitalism in this country, the United States, underwent very important transformation, in particular the corporate revolution, financial revolution, the managerial revolution. So there was a very important transformation of capitalism. So since this last decade of the 19th century, you had four big crises as big as the contemporary crisis may be. The first one was the crisis of the late 1890s, the second one was the Great Depression, third one was the crisis of the 1970s, and the last one is the contemporary crisis. Apart from that, obviously, you have other crises like the recurrent recession of the business cycle. We believe that two of these crises are linked to the falling profit rate in Marxist sense, the crisis of the 1890s and the crisis of the 1970s. But we believe that the Great Depression, the contemporary crisis, are not profitability crisis. We call them crisis of financial hegemony. But you have to understand that by finance, we mean capitalist classes and their financial institutions, because a lot of the power of capitalist classes is invested in their financial institutions. Okay? So when we say crisis of financial hegemony, it doesn't mean that we explain the crisis as a financial crisis. We believe, of course, the financial aspect was very important. But like the Great Depression, the contemporary crisis had financial and non-financial factors, mechanisms, and the two types of development combined. And this is what you can read in the book. Okay. In the contemporary crisis, there are very important non-financial factors, and in particular, what we call the trajectory of disequilibria of the US macroeconomy, globalization, okay? Of course, financialization, explosion of financial mechanisms. This doesn't relate to Marxist analysis of the tendency for the profit rate to fall, but it relates to Marxist analysis in the communist, Marx and Engels analysis, the Communist Manifesto, where Marx and Engels describe capitalist classes as a frontalist sorcerer. Okay? They start a huge process of transformation, extremely rapid process of transformation, and at some point they are no longer able to control their own magic. Okay? And we believe this is what is happening now. But I repeat, it's a combination of financial and non-financial mechanism, and a lot of the most important aspect of the book, in our opinion, is how to relate, you know, the financial and the non-financial factor of the contemporary crisis. So now I begin criticizing my Marxist friends, because you saw, as I said in the book, there is no criticism or discussion of other interpretation. So, simplifying a lot, within Marxism now, you have two wrong, in our opinion. I'm not going to say in our opinion at each sentence. Everything that I say now is our opinion, okay? So, in our opinion, last time, you have two basic misunderstandings. One misunderstanding is to relate the crisis to the low profit rate, which means a deficient inducement to invest on the part of enterprises, and the second one is a low share of wages. So, these are two traditional interpretations of big crisis in Marxism. Not enough profit, this means falling profit rate. Too much profit, and this means not enough demand, because workers are demanding more than capital. So it's exactly the reverse, but you know, many Marxists combine the two interpretations. So why do I focus today in a limited time on these two aspects? Because it is extremely simple, okay? Extremely simple. In our opinion, there are absolutely no possible discussion, okay? But you know, I saw it another time, I'm sorry. But of course it's our opinion, you know, it is. It's very simple because it's technical. So now I move to the technicality, but it's extremely important because this interpretation has devastating effect, and I'm going basically probably to speak of the first one. Okay, so now this is a measure of the profit rate in the United States. The top one is what we call a la Marx, in the sense that similar to Marx's approach in volume 3 of Capital. So, numerator, profits in a very broad measure, okay? Which means that profit in this measure still include all taxes, still include interest paid, and of course they include dividends paid out. The second curve here is not a profit rate. The denominator, the top, is fixed capital, okay? Total fixed capital. Of course, we compute everything, you know, in matter as concerning profit rate, so you have more sophisticated definition of profit rate with financial definition and everything. But here, as I've said, I'm focusing on the very, very simple. The second curve here is the rate of accumulation. Rate of accumulation is the ratio of the flow of investment in fixed capital to the stock of fixed capital in real terms. So is it, what was the growth rate of fixed capital this year? 2-3%. And you see, many master Marxists will want to explain the fluctuation of the rate of accumulation, which means investment, okay? Investment, but in relation to the existing stock of capital, to the profit rate in the above measures. So what first thing we see, Marxists are not conscious of the huge distance between the two measures. You can see here that actually the, well, I'm just beginning. You can see here that actually the investment here is only, you know, maybe 20% or even less of total profit in this measure. So a lot of things happen between the two measures here. And the, what happened between the two measures is extremely important. It's probably as important and more important and the movement of the upper curve, because the distance is so large, okay? So this is what we show, and now I will show you this. Here, we are computing various profit rates by taking out, subtracting gradually various components of profit. So, first thing is, we begin with this broad denominator of fixed capital. Here we have the broad measure of profit. We first subtract production taxes, indirect business taxes. You get the second measure. It's the only difference, okay? Now we subtract profit taxes. We move to this measure here. Now we subtract interest paid. But when we do that, we have to change the definition of capital, but I cannot enter into all that. And then we subtract dividend paid out. And so you get this line here, which is extremely close to the line corresponding to investment, because US corporation self-finance their investment. So they use what remains after paying all that out. So where is now the debate with all the big Marxists in the world now, which are defending the falling profit rate? The debate is just something completely uninteresting. The debate is, what do you do with profit taxes? Okay? Because these Marxists subtract production taxes, but they do not take out profit taxes. Why? Why would you take out one category of taxes and not the other one? In our opinion, there is absolutely no reason. But big debate now among the Marxists and us, you know, relates to all the fact they only subtract one category of taxes. And you can see here that if you subtract production taxes only, you can contend that the profit rate declined within non-financial corporation. But if you subtract all taxes, the profit rate is almost horizontal, except that it declined here to some extent during the 1970s. So it's very disappointing, it's extremely poor, but this is the root of the controversy. There is absolutely no other definition. Here you can see the same curve as before, and here you see the profit rate after subtracting all taxes. You can see some kind of average level, given the bump here, then low level here, and now in the contemporary period, you know, this level, which is very similar to the original level after World War II. So, but, you know, for example, if you take, I don't want to give name, but there is one name written here, you know, Robert Brenner, okay? And Robert Brenner is using this definition here, exactly the same definition as us. There is absolutely no other difference, okay? Only one thing is not subtracting profit taxes. So this is, the lines here correspond to the data that he is showing in his paper, exactly his data, and you can see the movement and the contention that now there was no recovery of the profit rate if you take off only one category of taxes. So, because something extremely important happened concerning taxation. After World War II, the level of taxes was very high in the United States because they were financing of profit taxes. Here you have total taxes paid by non-financial corporation as a percentage of the total added value, you know, or value added of this corporation. Here you have the percentage of production taxes, flat, constant. So you take off production taxes or not, it's not going to change anything. But here you have the percentage of profit taxes. And so what happened is that after World War II, they rapidly, you know, diminish profit taxes. And now, you know, they reach this level here, okay? You can see from 10% of added value, and not profit, added value. And here now they are almost at 4%, you know, about 4%. So this is extremely disappointing. This is a very important phenomenon. Why do Marxists do not know that? I don't know, because they look only at a certain, because in national accounting, there is one line which is called profit, so this is what they take. And so now, there are also many other aspects of the discussion. Because Marxists really want a falling profit rate, we were the first one, maybe at least, you know, very important share of our work was on the interpretation of the crisis of 1970 all that in the previous Harvard book, which is called Capital Resurgence, but we published that very long ago. So now there is a new miracle. The new miracle is let us use historical cost of capital instead of replacement cost of capital. Okay? So many believe, you know, that using historical cost of capital, they get a profit rate which is actually falling. Here you can see two calculations. One is current cost, which means replacement cost of the of fixed capital, and the other one is historical cost. And you can see that the trends are very similar. So if you look at figures like that as they are used, always you have to raise the question, what about taxes? Okay? And the point is that many churches are presenting now by Marxists using historical cost, and they seem to decline. But it's not that because of using historical cost, because it changes almost nothing, but because of the way taxation is treated as resting, you know, subtracting only one category of taxes. Okay, so now, well, this is for the short run, but I will skip the short run because I'm in a rush. And so, let me, I will skip also the efficient purchasing powers and what, just one word. If you distinguish within total added value wages and profits in a broad sense, if you distinguish here, you have the share, various measures, the share of wages in total value added within various sectors of the economy, national income, business, non-corporate business, non-financial corporate business. In all of these measures, there was a rise of the share of wages to the 1970s, and then it is about flat, maybe with a very slight decline. This contradicts all the view that, of course, the purchasing power of worker has been stagnating, and the explanation is extremely simple. The huge rise of wages in the upper wage fractions, okay? So if you take off, if you consider the 5% of the population with upper wages, their wages increase tremendously. If you take the rest of the population, their wages stagnated or diminished. But you know, the problem is demand, okay? And as you know probably, with neoliberalism, there was absolutely no deficient demand, but there was a huge overconsumption. Okay, in the sense that in the United States, the share of consumption in total value added has moved from 60 to almost 70%. One of the causes, the real cause of the contemporary crisis is a huge wave of consumption. Okay, and so it's not possible to defend this view. So all that are the details. This is what I just said. So now let me tell you the way we interpret the contemporary crisis on the basis of the diagram. The root of everything is neoliberalism under US hegemony, international hegemony. From this, you have two types of factors. One group of factors above was common to the entire neoliberal world. Okay? It's very well known. It's quest for high income. This is the interpretation we gave of neoliberalism many years ago. In the mid-1990s, neoliberalism is a class phenomenon in which capitalist classes fought in order to recover their income. Financialization, which is the explosion of financial mechanism, and very important as financialization, globalization. And of course, there is deregulation is involved, and there is a relationship between financialization and globalization, in the sense that you have a financial globalization, and this was absolutely crucial factor in the contemporary crisis. Now you have a second set of factors, and I will stop, okay? Second set of factors here is, in the United States, you also have, of course, you know, the first set of factors, but this second set of factors is typical of the US economy, okay? It existed only on the US economy, and this is the reason why the crisis came to the world through the US economy. Slow accumulation, deficit of foreign trade, and growing indebtedness. And growing indebtedness, you have two aspects. One aspect is a domestic debt, the debt of household before the crisis, and the other one is the international debt, in the sense that the US economy is financed by the rest of the world. And we show in the book, and this is crucial in the understanding of the crisis, that actually the variation of the two debt, domestic and external, are necessarily equal. And this is the reason why the United States is not out of the crisis, and it will take at least, you know, 5, 10, or 20 years before they understand the situation. So my last word in this presentation will be crisis, because all that converts to the contemporary crisis.